Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is I Am Unique Wright, your DIY coach, here talking to you in Studio U about business networking and how to network your business today. We're going to have a great guest today, and we're going to talk to her. She's a hairstylist. We're going to talk to her about her business and how she networks her business. Let me see. She might already be on the line, and she can introduce herself. Let me see if this is her. Hey.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm so glad to be a part of your show. I'm glad to be able to talk about my business, who I am, and what I actually bring to the table for the hair care professional line.
Awesome. Give me one second. Hold on one second. All right. Can you introduce everybody?
I'm Loki. I'm a hair care professional located in Houston, Texas. I've been doing hair since I was 8 years old, and I turned my passion into my business.
Awesome. That is great. That is so good. So the topic tonight is about business and networking. And the cool thing about working in the beauty industry and hairstylist is that y'all have the best networks. Y'all know everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, we do. We do have a lot of outlets within the hair community, especially the black hair community, where we network with one another, we share our craft, and we use different platforms to be able to expand our businesses. It's collaboration over competition all day over here.
Awesome. That is awesome. So how do you look at it about networking your business? Like, How do you introduce you, because my YouTube live went down. Hold on. Hey guys, I'm sorry. We have Loki here. She's a hairstylist out of, you said, Houston, Texas, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So tell the people, how do you brand your business? How do you network with your clients? How do you, you know, use your profession to build your business?
I use my professionalism, my word of mouth, and because I was born and raised in Houston, Texas, you know, I've been doing hair for a long time. Before I even began going to hair school, I attended Ogle Beauty School. And before I even went to cosmetology school, I would do hair in my neighborhood. I would do hair for my school. I would do hair for my mom's friends. And it started with a word-of-mouth thing. But when I started going to cosmetology school, they taught me how to brand myself, how to network myself. And I started using these social media platforms along with other inside networking materials that are offered to you when you go through cosmetology courses to be able to expand and scale my business and get in a room with other business professionals and business bosses who not only did what I did, but could put my name in a room of people who needed my services. So the easiest thing for me to do was to be myself completely, because I have a passion for hair. I love all things hair. I braid hair, sew hair, color hair, cut hair. I've been a mobile stylist for over 7 to 10 years. And I just love all things natural hair. I really get most of my clients from word of mouth and social media, but because I specialize in reviving the integrity of your natural hair, I teach a lot of my clients things about their hair that they would never know, how to maintain their hair and how to care for their hair versus taming their hair. And I think that's very important in the black community, and that's what helped me get so much income and revenue for my business. It's teaching my clients the integrity of revitalizing their natural hair instead of taming their hair, how to care for it, and the science to how hair works, because everybody's hair is different. There are many different hair textures and many different products that have to work for specific textures of hair. And it's just such a blessing for me to be able to change lives. A lot of women who have hair who I've done along with men, they don't know how to care for their hair. They don't know how to comb their hair. They don't know how to grow their hair. So I was really able to change a lot of lives with my expertise and my blessed hands.
That is super awesome. That is super awesome because, you know, there's a lot of hairstylists out here who don't care for hair. There's so much money in the industry that they're just like, let's do hair. But for to actually find somebody who actually cares and appreciates the strand of hair, then that is fairly awesome. Your business, and building your business and branding yourself and getting your name out there, what do you think helped you the most? Are you a person, like, I'll give you a couple of options. Like, if I was to walk down the street and you passed me, are you handing me your card or telling me, you know, I got a hairstyle, a hair salon down the street? Are you a person who kind of sits back and just wait for referrals? Are you a person who, let's see what other kind of stylist, you know, offer referral tips and offer networking to your customers, or do you do all of the above?
I do all of the above. I am one of those people who I take all avenues of success, and most times I have gotten a lot of my customers walking into a hair store, and customers are frantic, they're uncomfortable, and they don't know what to do for themselves. Not even knowing I'm a hairstylist, I immediately just have that help me niche. Like, I can tell when people need help, especially when I'm in the beauty supply. I'm in the process of getting my own beauty supply now. I can always tell when I walk into the beauty supply when a customer is uncomfortable and they're confused, they don't know what to buy. And when they feel like they don't have the right avenue to get the help they need. And a lot of times I've gotten many clients, many referrals, and I always have a business card on hand. I learned very young, very, very young that I was talented and that I always need to have something so people can contact me so I can get that money, so I can get that client, because every time I do one client's hair, I get at least three or four. But I spend a lot of time in the beauty supplies. I spend a lot of time around hair care professionals who sell bundles, who do wigs, who do braids, especially around, you know, braid shops and things of that such, because even though you know how to braid hair, even though you may know how to style hair, a lot of people do not know how to care for their natural hair. And a lot of people ask me all the time, you know, how do you wear so many wigs and you still have hair down your back? How do you wear so many braids and so many styles that create tension to your scalp, but your hair is still healthy, long, flowing, and thick, and so are all your clients? Like, one of my clients has hair all the way to her waist. She's been my client so long because I care for her hair no matter what style she chooses, and I think that's a real blessing that God blessed me with, being able to care for your natural hair. I take all avenues. I talk to people when I'm in the store. Even when I go to HEB and I see people buying shampoo or conditioner, you know, I'm one of those people, person who is not afraid to get out there and put myself on the line. I always keep me a card. I'm always advertising myself. Sometimes I keep products on me too, you know. Women love their purse, and I always have something in my purse to help somebody out, especially when it comes to the kids, because a lot of women don't know how to do kid hair either. So I always put myself in position to win, position to help, position to change somebody's life, because hair is very important and it's not talked about enough, how to care for your hair and revitalize the integrity of taking care of your natural hair versus just putting something on your head to get the style through the day or through the week.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you because my hair is so funny and finicky that I don't even, sometimes I just, that's why I keep braids or sewing. I got a decent amount of hair. Like, my hair is fairly healthy. But the thing is like, you have to be real particular about whose hands are in my head, because I've let some people touch and don't come back. Have to cut it all off and start all over. Cut it all off and start all over because they think that, you know, because I have a thin, fine grade of hair, but it's thick. I mean, it's full, but it's fine. So it doesn't, it's interesting. It's very interesting. So it is, it's very high maintenance. It don't like heat. It don't like too much moisture. It don't like too much oil. So I can't, you know, I was, when I went natural the first time, I started, you know, I watched there every day. Come to find out, that was a bad idea for me. You know, so a lot of it in the business and in the industry is trial and error and educating people how to pay attention to what they're doing with their hair. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So I've been in a hair salon since I was 10. So I wasn't a hairstylist. I worked in hair salons. I was a licensed nail tech for 20-something odd years. So I've always worked in the industry, barbershops and all of those. So those are I'm personally involved with a lot of hairstylists. We had a beauty supply store at one point in time in Charleston, South Carolina, two of them. So I understand the industry front and back. You know, weave, sew-ins, braid shops, all of that. So it's interesting for me to talk to the stylists because they are my 90% of my clientele in business. Because the thing is y'all can do hair. A lot of you guys can do hair, but y'all really don't know how to run your business. You know what I mean?
Right.
And how to expand your business, because most hairstylists are one woman, one man, you know, show. They're one person shows. They get their spot, they rent their booth, they go on commission, and they're one person show. But then after you do this for 20 years, like, what is your, you plan, I mean, do you plan to stay behind the chair for 30, 40 years?
Oh, most definitely not. Because I am a business-oriented person, I'm the first in my entire family and my bloodline to own a business, to have my own brand, to be interested in having my own everything. I invest in myself so much because I think it's important to be an owner. I think it's important to have a legacy. I think it's very important for me to be able to not be behind the chair all the time. I have four children. I have a husband. And standing up all day doing hair is not what I want to do forever. However, it was important for me to take that route so I know how to train others how to care for hair for my customers. My dream is to become a beauty supply distributor and to have a few other establishments of my own nail shop, my own hair shop, my own barber studio, my own salon, you know, just a whole hair care professional line so that I can provide everything that is needed as far as hair and beauty is concerned. You know, I love all things beauty. But no, ma'am, I do not want to sit behind the chair for the rest of my life. I have hair care professionals who have molded me. There's this lady who used to do my hair when I was younger, and she trained me to let me know all the time, your goal is to come from behind the chair and let your money work for you. It is very awesome that you are very particular about how your customers look leaving your salon, leaving your chair, but the goal is to make your money work for you and to also change lives. So I always make sure that any money I get from anything that I do, from any streams of income that I have, I always invest in myself, invest in my brand, invest in my business. And it has taken me so far. I'm always willing to put myself in a room full of bosses to make myself a better woman, make myself a better business owner, and to build my legacy more, because I want to be at home with my family and still change lives.
That is awesome. You say you're in Houston, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a stylist out there who I've had as my client for years. Her name, what is the name of her salon? I just had a whole brain fart. I'll tell you in a second. But she's a very good stylist. She has a nonprofit. No, her first name is Lisa. Just can't remember the name of the salon right now. But anyway, with all that being said, because that would be a great, she has done a great deal of work with natural hair and worked with Design Essentials. And is there a brand that you like to work with in your future? Like, are you a Design Essentials? Are you Barner Brothers? Are you Aveda, Redken?
I love Design Essentials. When it comes to silk press, I actually make my own hair care products as well. I make shampoo, conditioner, hair growth oil. But I love Design Essentials. When I attended Ogle Beauty School, I was able to tap into a lot of different brands. But Design Essentials has so many products that they smell so good. They're good for your hair, and especially for their silk press line, it lasts so long for natural hair. I really do love Design Essentials. To this day, no matter how much of my products of my own that I buy or make or manufacture, I still make sure I keep a little Design Essentials with me, especially the silk press, because with the silk press, even though you're not pressing your hair, you can still use their there's some spray for it to keep your hair straightened and to keep the humidity from affecting your hair, and I think that is so cool. I think it's very important for people of black descent, especially us, because as soon as we get outside, our hair is just ruined. As soon as you get a flat iron or as soon as you get a press or you get your hair a certain way into a certain style, and then you get out into this Texas humid heat, and your style don't even look the same. But with Design Essentials, it has really helped maintain a lot of my styles, not only for myself, but my clients as well, and my children, because my daughter has hair down her back. And I used to hate have to send her to school with these little rinky-dink styles, because I knew immediately when she left the house that her hair would be messed up. So Design Essentials has really helped me maintain a lot of my hairstyles, even when I'm not doing a silk press. I'm just blow-drying to keep the to make sure I can keep the style, and it really expands the longevity of how long my styles last on my clients, on myself, and on my daughter.
Well, you did a whole PSA for the Design Essentials. And then I have any of my educators right listening to this. Y'all need to pick this girl up. You did a whole PSA. Design Essentials, yo, send me 50 cents, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. I'll give her a quarter. You know, so, yeah, I appreciate that. That is awesome. Most of the stylists that I do use and use those kind of products, but that is a great way of networking and becoming on their educational platform, because they decide to align with essential educators, Deshanka Kareem, goodness, I can't get a name out today to save my life. That's why I don't name call. You know, people be like, I know, sister, 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 sister. I'd be like, I'll remember your name like that. Get back to networking. Bad, bad thing. You have to do a brain learning people's names. So, because if you call somebody out there by their name correctly, that makes them feel so much better about themselves, even if you're not even saying anything to them. He brightens up your day when somebody says, hey, Unique. You're like, hi, you know my name.
Right. And I get that a lot, too.
Yeah, it makes you feel tingly inside. So learning your client's name is a great way, because it makes them feel that you're being more personal to them and helps you build their network, because they think now, oh, she's my friend. She know my name. She just not caught doing my hair. So it means a lot to the customer, the client, because of that. With that being said, in businessing and in networking, do you have a set strategy? Okay, so you said you had your hairline, and you said you wanted to open up a salon. What is your plans for all of that, and how do you plan to do it?
My plans for that, I have invested in myself. Like, I'm going to this second annual Being Their Boss brunch, where I'll be in a room full of bosses who have their own business and who have made billions and multi-millions of dollars. And they, you know, they help you strategize. They give you pointers on how to run your business, how to brand. Right now, I'm working on trademarking. I do make my own hair care products. I manufacture my own products as well. But right now, in order for me to be the brand that I want to be, I want to go ahead and trademark, so that once I get where I want to be, nobody will steal my ideas. Nobody's able to steal my name. Nobody's able to take all the hard work that I have done and call it their own. So a lot of my stuff has been under wraps as I work on trademarking. I became an LLC about 3 years ago. I have been taking the steps that I need to put myself in a room full of people who are making millions, who have their own business, who have been through the trial and error, and who have way more connections than me. That's the thing with networking for me. Putting myself in a room of people who have connections that I might never be able to have access to doing it by myself. I think it's really important. I think it's really awesome that I'm able to network myself and put myself in a room full of people who don't even know me. And as soon as I walk in the room and I start speaking and they see my passion, they see my expertise, they're able to tell, hey, so-and-so, I know someone who can help you, or, hey, you need help with your natural hair. I know a lady right now who is so passionate about natural hair. She makes her own natural hair products and such and such. You know, I'm putting myself in a position to be seen by people who can help me in ways that I can help myself. And that's the biggest asset to my business right now. Because I can make the products. The products are working on my clients. The products are working on me. I'm able to sell, you know, just talking to somebody word of mouth. When I walk in a room or when I walk into a hair salon or when I walk into Walmart, I'm able to sell my products, you know, just me by myself. But what I cannot do is put myself in a room full of people who don't know me, you know, without having to pay an arm and a leg or having to go through many, many, many people. So me investing in myself, you know, going through these programs, networking with billionaires and millionaires who might not even do hair. That's the big thing for me. I know a lot of people who do hair, and we all try to help each other. But in order for me to succeed, I feel like I need to put myself in a room full of millionaires who don't do hair, who might need their hair done, who might know people who might put me in a better position. You understand what I'm saying? Because even though I do know a lot of amazing hair care professionals I can call to do my hair when I'm down, because I just had a baby, you know, and my newborn is 3 weeks old now, and I'm not able to do hair right now. I can call one of my hair care professional friends who I went to school with or who I know who does hair just as well as I do to do my hair, but they're not going to put me in a room full of people who have millions of dollars. They're not going to put my name in the ear of somebody who can expand my business versus theirs. So it was very important for me to put myself in a room full of bosses. It's important for me to put myself in a room full of people who may need my services and might not even know it. It's important for me to know people and who have money, lots of it to go around. So, you know, that's my biggest thing right now is scaling my business and putting myself in a room full of millionaires, billionaires, who can put my name in a room full of people who may need my services and need my help in so many ways. Not even if it's just my products or my expertise, knowing hair science. August Beauty School was the best school I could have chose. They teach you so much hair science. They take you through the process, and it just made me fall deeper in love with my passion.
What's the name of it? Which one?
Olga Beauty School.
Okay. I thought you said Aveda. Because I went to I went to a cultural school when I did nails, and they teach you a lot about business and stuff that a lot of the other black business schools didn't do at the time. They might be better now. I haven't been in a school in 20 plus years. So with that being said, That's super awesome. And that's the thing about it is when you are networking with people and the people who come and sit in your chair, each one of those people are potential investors and potential people to get to know your business and know your work ethic. So everything that you do and how you move and how you treat people, all of that extends on how your people are going to want to deal with you and how long you've had customers. You know, this lady to me for 5 years, 10 years in the bed out, you know, during COVID, they had to come because they don't know what to do with their hair, so they're depending on you to get their hair done. And the kind of reputation that you need to build. I always tell hairstylists, you need to make people need you, or actually all business owners, not just talking to about hairstyles, all business owners need to be in a position where they need you. At least they feel like they need you. If they think they can do it at home, why would I come back every week or every 2 weeks, every, you know? I have my files last 3 days, unless it's needed, or else in this head of mine, max 3 days out of a style, I am doing great. So that is, and I don't know what use. I have Sign Essentials. I have all of them. I have very funny hair, and I sleep with 3-year-olds. So those two combinations don't work. And I'm not high maintenance, so I'm not tying it up, wrapping all that stuff. It's a lot of work. Too much work. I have other things to focus on. When I want to go to sleep, I want to lay down and go to sleep. I bought satin pillowcases, though. Isn't that a plus?
That is a plus. I'm one of those people who sleep pretty all the time. My husband just told me that the other day, babe, you always sleep pretty, like your hair is done, even when it's not. And I learned that very, 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 very young. that if I wanted my hair to stay looking nice, especially because I came from a generation who knew nothing about hair and only knew to perm your hair. They knew nothing about maintaining the integrity of your natural hair. Just to perm your hair or keep your hairstyle the same, or you're not getting your hair done for another 2 to 3 weeks. So I always sleep pretty. I always keep a satin pillow. I always tie my hair up all the time. It has become natural to me. I don't lay down anywhere, sit down. I can't get comfortable unless my hair is tied up and I have done my haircut regimen for the night.
I'm the total opposite. Total opposite.
A lot of people are.
and the thing is, I grew up with hairstylists. I know exactly what to do. I know what to do. Do I do it? Nah. It's just a lot of work. But with all of that being said, you know, like you're saying, you're starting your own product line. And your branding and your marketing, your trademark. But what I would like to tell you is, one, I will tell you to next year in before March, change your business over to a corporation. All right. Then the third thing
a
I would
corporation?
Like a corporation versus an LLC.
Hold on, it was kind of hard to hear you. It was going in and out.
I said, change your business to a corporation. You heard me?
Like, I'm a registered LLC. A corporation as in, like, Inc. Incorporated or, like,
you're an LLC. A LLC is a limited liability company. So, with that being said, you're not directly liable for any damage that you do to a client's scalp, but you're indirectly responsible. So it's much better as a stylist to go in as a corporation for multiple reasons. You can now, one is easier to sell your company and your brand, your product. Say you have a big manufacturer who loves your product. Say Design Essentials loves your product so much and they want to buy your product. Even though you're an LLC, yeah, you could sell it, cool. But if you do it as a corporation, your taxes and everything else are much better on it. The business brand and businesses take you more personally, more like you're more real when you're a corporation versus you're an LLC. Say you get as big as Design Essentials and you want to put your business on the stock market and you still have to make it a corporation to do that. I know these things sound like there are bigger dreams than where you may be at right now. But the process of it is then start building your business credit, making sure that your business credit, when you show a distributor, saying you're starting your hair company now, distribution or your hair store, if you go to a manufacturer and say you are a corporation, they look at you a little bit different than saying you're an LLC. And I know it's not even.
I understand what you mean.
It doesn't cost you anymore to do it. You know what I mean? It's just like one more sheet of paperwork to actually do it. So becoming a corporation, people treat you better. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes sense.
So
it basically takes me from a room full of millionaires to a room full of billionaires.
Right. So now, no, it's a little bit less than that. So you're with the thousandaires. Thousandaires have LLCs. Millionaires and billionaires have corporations. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
totally.
You want to have a corporation. Just so when you get that chance, and just do it at the beginning of the year because it really doesn't make a difference. Then you can pay yourself. And you have 4 kids. You can put them on your salaries. And be shareholders of your corporation where you're talking about building all this legacy, right? But these are things that they do not teach you. You can pay your kids up to $25,000 a year, put it in a pro account for them, and don't even get taxed on it because you paid it out. Mm-hmm. And now it's a business loss to your kids. No matter what age they are, they can be on your payroll. You know what I mean? So if you bring in $1 million or 6 figures, your first year of doing all this great stuff, easy 6 figures, right? You now pay out kids, so you not pay all them taxes and hide your money, because the best thing for you to do is report all your money so that you are able to, one, build your credit, build your business credit, have that home purchasing ability. You know, I'm not sure if you are a homeowner right now, but if not, you have the homeowner being able to buy and purchase property. And when you're starting to do retail, because most hairstylists need a salon, right? Now, what I'm saying is not designed technically for everybody. I'm just talking about pretty much people are like maybe hairstylists or people who want storefronts. This is the route they need to take. If you go and say, hey, can I rent your storefront? They're going to be like, let me see how much money you've made for the last 3 to 5 years. And you can go in as an LLC. That's not, it's not going to work. But if you go in as a corporation and you have, that you have 5 or 6 employees, that you've been making this amount of money for this long, you know, you're on payroll, then you can, you now, your business now looks a lot more stable than it would before. You know what I mean?
Right. And then I hear what you mean. Yeah, I understand.
You can build your business credit and everything. Now you're going to have somebody that's going to say, being a corporation, you're going to get double taxed because now you have to file your income taxes on top of your corporation taxes after the money that you paid for yourself. Yes, that is correct. I'm not going to lie about it. You do get double taxed in that way. So you pay your taxes to the, so that means you can file two different tax files. You have your corporation tax and you have your personal tax. So you can have your corporation tax where it puts you at a higher bracket, but then you pay yourself a certain amount, which makes you level out and be in your own little tax bracket itself. So that helps you build your business. And this is one thing the stylists don't get. One thing stylists don't get is put your money in the bank. Put it in the bank and pull it back out. Put it in the bank and pull it back out. These are things that you need to do as a stylist because y'all get a lot of cash. Y'all get a lot of, you know, loose money. And it's great when you got $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 in your pocket every night when you go home. Awesome. That's beautiful. But it doesn't count for nothing. You're trying to scale because now you're trying to scale and people are looking at your account and you're like, oh, yeah, I make 6 figures. But in your bank account, it only shows that you put in like $30,000. You know what I mean? So when you deposit that money, even if you have to pull it out, it's about the deposits, not the withdrawals in businesses, because they know that it takes money to grow your businesses. So withdraw it and pay yourself and learn how and get in the habit of creating your schedule so it can put you on a different bracket than everybody else. And that's what the cool part about being a corporation is, you can have your own payroll and be, you know, pay yourself. Even if you want to do a 1099 or take taxes out on your own self, do it. And some people will be like, that sounds crazy. But at the end of the day, when you're trying to scale, if you want to level up like you're saying and you are pronouncing yourself to level up, start these practices now when you're making as much as you want to make right now. So when you start leveling up, you already have the record in the bank. The more business bank account that you have with your business, the more money they're willing to give. Because right now, I don't know how your bank account is set up, what the score is like, but average stylists don't have good credit and don't deposit money in the bank. This is my experience over the years. They can buy things cash all day long, but they do not have that credit wise. Now you may have.
Yes, ma'am. I can't admit to that. I'm mostly so used to paying for things for cash. I'm mostly used to just buying what I need for my business. I'm mostly just putting in my bank account exactly what I need to purchase more things for my business only. Like, most of my money literally is in a safe at home with me because that people have that mentality to always keep the cash on you and to not trust the bank. So I'm just coming out of that. Starting my business, like, within the last 3 years, I'm just putting myself in position to build my credit, you know, have those deposits to be able to put myself in a different position versus just carrying cash around my purse all day.
Right. And, I mean, that cash is king. Now, I'm not saying that it's not, but at the end of the if you want to grow your business, you need to have some of this documented as you are making money. Because even people will be like, oh, let me see your last 3 months' bank statements. And if you're like, well, I make I have $100K in my safe right now. I got $1 million in the safe. That's all me to them. You know, and if you want to do a storefront or you want to own a building or you want to buy a plot of land and your own salon, you need to have that leverage on people who don't have that or people who don't understand that mindset. So those are the things. That's one of the things that, like, most stylists and most people in the beauty industry do not get, because we're almost like drug dealers. You know what I mean? Like, we just keep cash all the time, and we think it's the coolest thing ever, and you spend it much quicker, and you don't even know how much you made. I would be making six figures doing nails, and I'm like, I don't make no money, but I'm eating out at five-star restaurants every night. I'm driving a nice car. I got a bag on my hand. You know what I mean?
Shoes right.
Like, but you like, where my money at? Because I don't see it, because by the time you see it, it's in your closet or it's in your car, decorations of your house or in decorations of your shop, or
you definitely right about that.
So my thing, I've been working with y'all for years, so I know that energy, that is, I can't get away from you guys. I love y'all and hate y'all all at the same time. But at the end of the day, you have to set yourself up for success. And that right there, if you don't take anything else from this and this conversation, if you start this practice for now, for the next 3 years, you'll be like, damn, that lady said, this one podcast, that lady said that if I do this right here, I can grow my business. We can go in the whole discussion of business credit. Keep listening to my podcast. Those will be more things that we could talk about. You can grow your business credit, how to get your salon on credit. Because who wants to pay? You want a nice salon? That's $20K for equipment, your bowls, your chairs, your thing. We can get cheaper. We all know we can get it cheaper. But do you want to start with the Rinky Dink Salon, or do you want to start with the Aveda Salon? Pick which one. Aveda, they make more money. And then my other last bit before I have to let you go so I can get into my rant on business networking. The other tidbit about this is make sure that booth rent shit is for broke people. Broke stylists. You can make some money. You can have 13 chairs and somebody sitting in none of the 13 chairs. Or you got 13 chairs filled with somebody that you at least getting a couple $100 off of a day because you're doing commission and people want to do more commission than booth rent. Like, I understand stylists like booth rent. Older stylists like booth rent. It makes sense because they built the clientele. But nowadays, these people, these young generations who's coming in who don't have clientele, and they don't want to work for their clientele. So the best way to control your atmosphere and to control your business is to do commission. You will make literally eight times the amount of money you will make doing booth rent. I've done numbers for a barbershop that makes six figures, and I showed him he could make $1 million. I said, yo, you know you can make $1 million if you switch over to commission, right? He was like, well, I don't want to do that to my barbers. I'm like, them love, you still can pay them, you know what, more, sometimes more than what they're making if you do it like that. Yes, it is a little bit more work on your behalf. Yes, you have to do payroll, but if you think about this, you know how I was talking about cash flow and how I was talking about all of that money going into the bank. Now imagine if you have five years, right, and everybody in your chair makes $1,000 a day, right? That's $5,000 a day minimum, right?
Right.
That means $5,000 a day, then times that by, we won't even say 30 days. We'll say 23 days because we won't work half of the weekends. You know what I mean? Or we won't work every weekend. So times that by 23. So that's, I'm going to calculate it real quick so I tell you. So that's $5,000 a day times 23 days, right? That what I said, right? That's $15,000 a month. going into your bank account. Now, you can pay out, say, $100,000 of that to your employees for the services they provide. But do you know what $115,000 worth of cash deposits or deposits into your bank account can leverage you and get you if you call your bank 3 months later and be like, can I have a loan? They usually give you three times that amount. So that's $350,000. Or over $300,000 to leveraging for your business, line of credit or credit card. How many stylists do you have that kind of leverage?
I don't see any.
So, and that's just five. That's only five chairs. Five.
Well, that's really intriguing because I stopped the boost rent thing. I've only tried it about like four times, and I realized that I was making more money by myself being a mobile stylist than I was doing boost rent because I'm paying still lights, water, and gas for an establishment versus being able to use all the income to make my business bigger. But you really put it in a different perspective for me.
Right. And the thing is that when you're booth rent, you think you're making more money because you see more of your money, right? But you have to pay for your advertising. You have to pay for your products. You have to pay for, I'm talking on the business owner side, our stylist mm-hmm. side. You have to pay for all of that. So after you deduct, no stylist does this. And if you start doing a nail, you'll become a boss sooner than later. If you start doing the math on how much money you spend on all your products and all your everything that you use, your time, your documents, all of that, right? And then compare how much mm-hmm. money you actually make to the money line that you were working at, I bet you were making more of the commission. So you didn't have to buy all of it. Shouldn't have had to buy all the products. Shouldn't have had to do any advertisement, which is a bulk of your business. And you have to go nowhere. You just stayed at the one shop, right?
Well, I just stayed at the one shop.
Yeah. So, because I was a mobile nail tech for a long time, which was great, but that uses a lot of your time. Because we don't calculate the breakdown and setup. And then the customer having all of those distractions going on. They got kids, they got family, they got somebody coming in the house on random. You know what I mean? So all that stuff.
Yeah, so that again. It has been very stressful being a mobile stylist. Even though I like it, it's very stressful because my customers and my clients fall in love with me to the point where it's like everybody wants me at the same time. I have a client right now who knows I just delivered a baby, and she has texted and called me within the last 2 weeks and know I just delivered my baby August 9th. Are you ready yet? I need my hair done. My mom needs their hair done. My kids need their hair done. Like, are you available? Are you available? I'm like, ma'am, I don't want to be in your house all day doing everybody's hair. I'd rather just take some time for myself. But my clients fall in love with me so much that they forget I'm a business, not just not just your friend, not just somebody you can talk to, not just somebody who can fix your hair and make you feel beautiful. Like, clients really fall in love with you and they treat you like family. And it can become stressful sometimes because I have to pay gas to get you there, take time to get you there. I have to have somebody watch my children while I'm coming to do your children's hair. And then when I get there, I need you to understand that I'm here to do your hair only and then leave. And my clients, lately, they don't understand that.
Girl, you gotta talk to Becky on FaceTime. You gotta do all of that.
Right.
You gotta play with the kids while they taking a shower. Oh, let me take the shower before you do my hair. So I just go
exactly.
Take a bath. Then so that 4 hours that you was doing hair in the salon is now eight. It's been 8 hours of these
yes,
people out. Said you, yes, you got a couple drinks in your system, possibly. You know, it's a good time. You ain't good. I know. I've done it. An hour service takes four. Somebody comes
correct.
To the family.
And it became so frustrating for me.
But that's the life of a mobile servicer, period. You know, unless you're really hard and cold, like I'm gonna get in and I'm out, but that never works for you if you want to keep your clientele. But with all that being said, those are some of the things that we as individuals understand how to value that level of time. You don't get time back, and they're not paid. I guarantee you, if you added up $100 an hour, it's about what you deserve, right? Are they paying you $800 when you leave the house?
No, they're not paying me $800. They do tip well, but they're not paying me $800. Like, my clients literally bought me all the stuff that I needed for my baby for the entire year. You know, they still send me gifts now. They still send me tips now. Like, they pay me all the time, even when I'm not doing their hair, just when they think about me. Like, when they call and they need help trying to figure out how to style their hair, they send me payments because of the clientele that I have built and the relationship I have built with them. But they definitely not paying me what I'm worth still if I'm spending time, all their time on the phone with them, all their time doing their hair, all their time interacting with them and their children and waiting for them to shower. And that's one thing right there that every client loves to do when he's doing their hair. Let me take the quick shower real quick. So once you leave, all I have to do is go to bed. Like, no, damn, that takes up 40 minutes of my time.
Like, why you didn't take that shower before you got there? You know what time I was coming. But,
right.
Yeah. With all that being said, those are the things that we have to tally up as business owners, because I used to do graphic design and websites and everything else, and I used to go to my clients' house or salons or barbershops and sit in front of them. So I got to wait for you to cut 10 heads. And the funny part was I used to think that they used to bring me in there so that they can cut the heads and use that money to pay me for sitting in here. So I had to wean myself off of those clients and be like, yo, you got to email me, you got to text me, you got to pay me Cash App over the phone, however else you pay me, because me sitting in your shop wastes so much more of my time and my energy than it does me doing it at home. Because now, then I can multitask, you know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. It's a premium for me to be sitting in your face and playing with you and Kiki and with you and cracking and actually helping your clientele, because the times I use that as networking to actually get other people in there because they saw me working and asking what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. So that works somewhat, but it doesn't work all the time because, you know, not everybody is about their business when it's about to do the business. You know what I mean? So, like I said, with all of that, with what I told you today, I hope you took a couple of notes. I gave you a little bit more than I give a lot of my guests on here, a lot of personal information that will help you grow succeed, only because I have a personal love for hairstylists, honestly, because I really think, like, it's a $1 trillion industry. All y'all should be ballers. You know what I mean? There is no excuse. Everybody should have their own product line. Everybody should have their own salon, suite salons, barbershops, clippers, whatever you need. Y'all should have it because there's always a tribe and there's always a group of people who need your level of education and level of understanding about how to run their business and how to structure their business. So if I was you, another way to do this is learn all about the beauty business. You already got styling hair down and growing hair. You know, learn about business. Start now while you're in the beginning is learning about your business and learning how you save money and learn what you need to do to make your business grow. Watch how much money you spend and be able to pay like other. And then my second note is a hands-free. Your client should to a website or go somewhere, call you, or not call you, that you don't want to call you. Do a payment notification, and now you know exactly what time their appointment is. They already sent you a deposit or the full payment for the appointment, and now you just build your schedule out and you keep them at that scheduled time. you know what I mean, and teach them how to respect your time, because that is the hardest part as a stylist, especially is people don't respect your time, and that is the one thing you do not get ever, ever, ever again. You make money, but you never get your time back, okay?
Yeah, so you're definitely right about that.
So with all that being said, you know, let me know. I'm here. Let me know how I can help you, how I can help you build your business, you know, if you have any questions, you know, hit me up on DM. We can talk. If you need help planning, I have a business plan. We can ship you out one to help you, like, write some of this down, because y'all don't do that either. Y'all don't write nothing down.
I have a business plan. I have a website. I have a booking website. Like, I have really put myself in position to, like, be better with the business. That has been the hardest part, wearing all the hats, being a mom full-time and being a wife and still trying to, you know, reach for my dreams to the highest capacity. Everything you have named has really, and everything you have advised and said to me has really put me in position just to go harder, work harder, because I am trying to scale myself beyond my own limitations, and I'm always willing to do better. I invested in doing a business plan, not only with Ogle Beauty School, but myself, and I reached out to other professionals who have helped thousands of clients come up with their specific business plan, so when I get in front of a bank and my credit gets perfect to where it needs to be, I'm able to get the financials I need to get my beauty supply and have my salon suite. Like, I really do need more help, and I'm really happy that I was able to network and come into communication with you, because I'm trying to take myself to the roof. And it seems like it was just God's will for me to go ahead and be able to network with you, come in contact with you, so I can take myself where I need to be financially and just make my dreams come true totally. I'm definitely willing to invest in myself more and more to put myself in position to build my legacy. So I really appreciate being able to be on your show today.
You are very welcome. And learn to delegate. You got to get other people to help you do some of that work. So learn to delegate. Because doing it on your own, it doesn't always work, especially with family and you know, and having your own business and doing mobile. You're a beast. Being with four kids and doing mobile, yeah, I'll give you that. You're already on beast mode. So, So I'm glad you have a great support system, because you have to have one with that. But make sure you find to delegate some of that work too that you need, and it's cheaper to pay them than to do it yourself. You'd be surprised how much money and time you could save, and some of that quality time you don't need with your family. You know what I mean? And even if you had an assistant right now and you have changed up to your standard, you could have sent your assistant over there and done these people's hair. They're not going to be happy with that assistant, but their services will be done. You know what I mean? And then you're still their client. So, like, those are, you know, those are the things that you may need to think about you doing to help scale yourself up, is to create you a mini-me, you know. And that's what you have to do in your business and grow in your business. So make sure you just build your structure and create a system for it. Just make sure you create that system, so that you can wean yourself out of doing the interview. Because standing on your hands and doing all that twists and turns, when you get a 40 and 50 years old, that's hard on your body. So you got to pay attention to that. You got to pay attention to that, because you don't want to have not to stand behind a chair. You know, have to stand behind a chair. I know 80-year-old stylists. You know what I mean? I'm like, why are you still here? I love hair. No, you don't love hair that much.
Definitely not at 80. You don't love hair that much, baby. No,
I've been doing hair for 45 years. Mm-mm. You don't need to do hair. No. You don't even need to be in a salon. You need to go home somewhere and play with a grandkid. Or do you even have kids? Because obviously you don't, because you couldn't. You know what I mean? So, but at the end of the day, make sure you build that business credit, if nothing else. Make sure you structure your business where you need it to be. Make sure you deposit that money into the bank so that you can have what you need to have, what you can have that collateral. Because that's what I learned in the last 5 years, It's depositing that money in the bank gives you leverage so much more leverage than it does when it's in your pocket. And that's what you want, is that leverage. You don't have to stay in the bank, but it will leverage you. And then you get to see how much you make. And it's nice to look at that bank statement and it says, oh, you've made $46,000 this month. And you're like, where the money go? You're still not going nowhere with it. I mean, that's a whole nother level of education, and we only on step one. So, but when you see that amount, I look at my bank statement sometimes, and I'm like, God, how the hell I spend so much? I didn't buy nothing I didn't think.
That's the same thing I'd be saying. What did I buy? Hold on, wait. What did I spend? Where did it go?
Right, and all $20. Them $20 add up like a month. Oh, you spent $20 1,800 times.
You right about that.
But it is the end of this show, and I appreciate you being on, and I am glad that I was able to talk to you and help you improve on what you wanted to do. And you use everybody that's in your corner, all the people who are stressing you out right now. Tell them you need a nanny. You need a nanny so you can come do your hair. Get them to pay for your nanny.
You right about that.
Make sure that breast pump is on. You know, we need a side freezer in the bedroom so I can have my frozen breast milk in there. You breastfeed, whatever it is. You know what I mean? So,
yes, ma'am.
With all that being said, you know, make sure you spend time with your children and enjoy them. They are your best. And they're not going to like you at the end of the day anyway, but, you know, at least you tried. But I know that's me. I'm sorry. But I will talk to you later, and I appreciate you being on the show. All right?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you putting me on the show.
Make sure you share this with everybody, and you repost it on your page and your stories, and just share the love. I share with you. Share the love. I appreciate it. So I built my network.
Thank you
can
so
build
much.
Your network. You know,
thank
my
you so
people.
Much. I appreciate you. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. This is I Am Unique DIY Business Coach. We are logging off tonight. We had a great session about beauty salons networking. You know, a hair salon is the best place to network. Barbershop is the best place to network. But a lot of them don't stay alive and don't grow because they just are too small-minded. And you have to expand and excel, build system, and build your brand behind that. So make sure you guys are successful, depositing money in the bank, and networking with the people you network so that you can build a more successful business. I hope you guys enjoyed my show. Y'all have a night. Make sure you like, share, to everybody, and subscribe. Subscribe if you on YouTube. Have a great day. Turn them notifications on, too. Talk to you guys later. Bye.